everybody, to the Hammer and Rails podcast. With you as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
I'm Ryan Bonaparte.
And we're back with you following Purdue's dominant victory over the Minnesota Golden Gophers, 61-39.
Clamps.
Yeah, just an incredible defensive showing by the Boilermakers. Minnesota, of course, not a great basketball team, but still, 39 points, pretty incredible. We're going to get into that after our question here at the top. Then, in our second half, we're going to look at kind of the Big Ten standings, where we are right now, and a brief look ahead at Purdue's next game, which is Sunday, which is the Hammer Down Cancer game against Maryland. So, as I teased there, Ryan, I do have a question for you. Are you ready for this?
Yes, I am.
So, I know we've been focusing a lot on movies, Disney movies, mm-hmm. Pixar movies, things like that, but I'm going completely a different direction on this one. Casey was not a big fan of sweets, which really broke my heart every time I asked him a question. So hopefully you'll be better at this one. What is the best ice cream flavor?
Ooh.
And I'll give you a little time to think while I explain. And I'm not talking like I love Ben and Jerry's. So I'm not going to be like you have to say like fish food or tonight dough or something like that. I'm talking like, you know, the big staple flavors. Like mm-hmm. cookies and cream, cookie dough, chocolate, vanilla, just a swirl, peanut butter ripple, moose tracks, you know, something like that. Those the big ones that everybody would recognize.
Well, full disclosure, you answered three of my answers.
Okay.
That I was going to have on that.
Good.
Also, like Ben and Jerry's, and tonight dough is probably my favorite.
It's a very, very solid flavor.
Just, I can't do peanut butter.
Ooh.
Is the problem.
That's a hot take.
Can't do peanut butter and ice
like
cream.
It's just an ice cream. It's not like you're not going to have like a peanut butter sandwich.
I mean, I won't have a peanut butter sandwich. I'll have a peanut butter and jelly
sandwich.
Well,
that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. So, but yeah, too much peanut butter sometimes I can't do. But anyway, my personal go-to has changed a couple times throughout my life. You know how like that 7-year thing?
Yeah, taste change every 7 years, they say.
Yeah. So mine has switched back and forth between cookies and cream or Oreo and cookie dough.
Yeah.
Just those two.
Those are just excellent top tier choices.
Mm. Yep. So I would say right now I'm more on the Oreo kick.
Yeah.
It's smoother usually. When
That's
you get
true.
Cookie dough, it's just a little too globby and chunky.
And it depends on... You know, if you're having chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, it all depends on what kind of chocolate they put in it. If you get those little tiny chocolate chips like you see in a lot of them, they can sometimes mm-hmm. just like harden and be unappetizing, or they kind of get stuck in your teeth, at mm-hmm. least for me. So that is usually my biggest problem with cookie dough ice cream, but
right.
it is definitely a top tier flavor.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
And I think, honestly, if my answer was going to be cookies and cream... So I mm-hmm. guess we're on the same wavelength there. I mean, it's just, as you said, it's always a very smooth ice cream. Who doesn't love, like, an Oreo flavor? And usually you get a lot of the topping in a cookies and cream ice cream, whereas sometimes with other ones it can be a bit hit or miss. Like, if you have a cookie dough ice cream, you might not get a lot of the cookie dough. You might get a lot of chocolate chips, whereas with the cookies and cream, you know you're getting a lot of cookies in that mm-hmm. in that bowl, so... that's Absolutely. One reason. It's very dependable.
Mm-hmm. I will also say I prefer vanilla to chocolate ice cream.
Yeah, same. Absolute same.
It's a better flavor.
Yeah. Anytime I go somewhere where I can order a milkshake, mm-hmm. if it's like the first time I've gone to a place, I will always order the vanilla milkshake. And my wife always makes fun of me. She's like, why don't you get something more exciting? I'm like, because... If they can't make a good vanilla milkshake, the rest of their flavors aren't going to be any good. So I always get a vanilla milkshake. And vanilla is also a delicious flavor. So, mm-hmm. you know, both of those are good arguments against what she says. But she doesn't really eat sugar. So, mm-hmm. you know, and she thinks milkshakes are just melted ice cream. Her words. Oh. So, you know, I can't respect her ice cream opinions.
Fair enough.
So... Do you have a favorite milkshake flavor?
I'm not really. I can honestly say I've had maybe like 4 milkshakes in my life.
Oh, that's outrageous.
Yeah, I'm not really a big milkshake person. You give me ice cream and I'm happy.
Yeah, I may be an unusual in this scenario. My dad, growing up, we had a milkshake maker. Growing up, just like, you know, one of the things you would always see like at a diner or something, that just a little milkshake stand mixer kind of thing. And we would always get milkshakes as like treats on random days or whatever. So my dad would always make his milkshakes. So always a big fan of those. It would be like, you know, you'd just put like Hershey syrup in the vanilla ice cream and have a chocolate milkshake, or you add Hershey's and like a scoop of Jif peanut butter, or you put like the Nesquik strawberry and you have a strawberry milkshake. So always a special place in my heart for milkshakes. So there we go. That is the ice cream talk for this evening. Now let's get to this ball game. Purdue improves to 18-1, 7-1 in conference play after just an absolutely dominant game over Minnesota. As I said, final score 61-39. And the first half was just almost as good as you can hope for from a defensive perspective. Purdue goes into halftime 31-12. I mean, what did you see in this game, at least in the first half, that showed you how good Purdue was playing?
Well, I definitely saw the lack of talent on Minnesota.
Sometimes they were just missing shots.
Yeah, so you saw that, but I think it was important to notice Ethan Morton had such a better game than his last time out against Michigan State. He was just on the ball and just seemed to be he seemed to be a half step quicker on all defense today, and it made a big difference. So I think you also noticed it in a couple other players. Just they seemed to be a half step quicker, and again, that comes down to talent. Sometimes Minnesota does not have the world-beating athletes where you're not going to be able to catch up to them if you're on defense. So it's a little bit of a combination of both. And then Zach Edey just in the deep post on defense, just don't shoot by him. He's going to swat it.
Yeah, 4 blocks in this game and looks great on defense. You know, quick movement, quick feet, stays out of foul trouble as always. No fouls committed in this game for all of our Michigan State fans who are listening. So, you know, the team altogether just looked really, really good. Edey ended up only playing 27 minutes, which, you know, still a lot of the game. But for what he's been playing, he's been averaging over 31. It was nice to get him a little bit of a breather. He had, you know, it's so strange. He only had 12 and 6 in this game, but also had 2 assists, 4 blocks, no personal fouls. So another great game for him, but Purdue didn't really need him to be the dominant man that he always is. But there was another player on Purdue who really took over on offense. What did you think of Braden Smith in this game?
Braden Smith was just on the attack in this game. I mean, he would drive to the lane and just attack the basket. I mean, I want to say 4 or 5 of his shot makes were just easy layups at the basket. And then if a Minnesota defender went under a screen on the pick and roll Braden Smith just shot over top and he made 2 or 3 of those. So he looked very comfortable against this team and he was just finding a shot. I know in the post game, Matt Painter was saying, "You're a good shooter. Do that more often." And we can see why.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting because you see that in a lot of like the post game talks with the players, is they talk about, even if they're having, you know, a bad couple games shooting here or there, they talk about how their teammates and the coaching staff are always telling them, you know, you're a good player, you're a shooter, you can make these shots. They're not going in right now, but we want you to keep taking them. And I think that is just great for these guys' confidence, because I can't imagine seeing the ball just, you know, rim out over and over and over again, what that does to you mentally. Thinking you're letting yourself down, you're letting your team down, you're letting your coaches down, but having those people behind you to say, no, it's all right, it happens to all of us, you know, go out there, we need you to take these shots, and you're going to make them. That's got to feel great.
Absolutely, and you almost saw that with Ethan Morton, too. Ethan Morton officially made 1-3 in this game. He made a second, but they called it off.
Yeah.
So, like you said, sometimes you just need to see the ball go in the basket, And it's as simple as that. So hopefully that can kind of spark Ethan Morton a little bit too on offense, just because he's been struggling a bit.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like you said, sometimes guys just need to see the ball go in the basket, which sounds so stupid and sounds so cliche, you know, but it is true. I mean, it's a cliche because it is true. It's, you have to find some success in order to build on it, because you need that confidence. And a lot of the guys on Purdue's team are playing really confident right now. You know, Fletcher Lawyer really didn't have a great game offensively, just 6 points, 3 of 10 from the field, but that hasn't really changed how he plays. You know, he plays confident. He still looks really good out there. One guy who I thought did a great job in this game was Caleb First. Only had 6 points, but man, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, a block. He just was all over the place. 2 for 2 from the free throw line, which is always huge. And he's just out there playing with a lot of energy. And it's great whether it's him or Gillis. Purdue is really getting a lot of production out of that 4 spot. And if you followed Purdue basketball under Matt Painter, you know how important the 4 is to kind of how he runs his offense. So to see the two of them combine for 16 points and 11 rebounds is really great.
Yeah, and you almost feel for Mason Gillis because he's just not getting – he's not back in that starting role just because he was out, and it's – he's essentially splitting with Caleb First right now, right?
Yeah, so, they both played 19 in this game.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you want to say that you want the player who is, you know, got more seniority in Gillis to kind of go out there and be your starter and your star, but there's just so much talent on this team right now. They're so deep. Like, Trey Kaufman-Wren has just had a rough couple days or games. He's, you know, been put through the blender, but you know it's going to come around because he's just got so much talent.
I think we talked about it the last one. It's so hard to go out there and play, you know, 5 minutes in a game and then expect to be productive. Maybe you don't play a game or two here and there. In this one, he played 13 because it really was such a blowout. But he still looked a bit uncomfortable. Things looked a little fast for him. But, you know, he still had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, no points. He missed his only 2 shots he took. But, you know, sometimes it's not the shots going in that can give you confidence. It's other things as well. So for a guy like Kaufman-Wren, maybe it's the rebounds. Maybe it's a defensive effort that's going to push him over the top and make him a little more comfortable. But I'm just glad to see Painter is still throwing him out there and giving him those
minutes. Yeah, and to your point, I mean, it's difficult when you're not scoring, but something can push you over the edge to get you more minutes. I mean, Matt Painter, of all people, values good basketball, and that does not always mean scoring.
Right.
I mean, someone put it on Twitter, this was Purdue's least efficient offensive game of the season, and they won by 22, given it was their most efficient game on defense of the season.
Right.
But so there are so many different ways to win, and scoring does not always mean that you're going to win. And Matt Painter knows how to dish those minutes out and knows how to get value out of his players. I mean, Purdue only shot 3 free throws.
That was my next point. In fact, Minnesota shot 5. So, you know, I can't remember the last game where an opponent shot more free throws than Purdue, especially this team, you know, this season. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and honestly, that's sort of an effect of Zach Edey did not have to get to the foul line. He, you know, he put up 9 shots and made 6 of them. So it's not one of those days where he's putting up 20, 30 shots and gets fouled on, you know, a third of his shots.
Right.
So he had 1 and 1, but that was even on a lob. So it's not like he was backing down players. Give credit to the Minnesota big guy, I want to say it's Payne. He was taking some body blows, with as everyone does who guards Zach Edey. Yeah. But I mean, it's, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, he's, I mean,
just so you just, big.
You do what you can. I mean, you're not gonna suddenly grow. You're not gonna suddenly gain 30, 40 pounds. So you do anything you can, and it's I can't imagine how tough it would be. Only one more thing for me on this game. Did you happen to see the video in the first half where it was, I can't remember the exact context, but it was right after, I think, an Edey bucket. and you saw him high-fiving someone, maybe Braden Smith, and then you see Fletcher Lawyer walking behind him trying to get a high-five. No one high-fives him, so he high-fives himself and then just walks by.
Gotta make your own high-fives, you know, gotta make your own way if you need to.
It was absolutely great.
It's like when you're shooting a free throw and you back up and you high-five the air.
Oh, in fact, so I'm watching it again. So Lawyer gets a high-five from Edie, then tries to high-five someone else, maybe Gillis, and he just – Gillis had already turned around, and so Lawyer just high-fives himself. But, yeah, really – really, yeah, really good point there about the – if you try to get the high-five at the free-throw line, you'll see guys high-five themselves sometimes. So just, you know, the team is loose. That's what I think that tells me. A lot of good attitudes on this team. I love to see it. So, is there anything else you have about this Minnesota game?
I don't think so. I will say that they new announcers. I'm not used to having Crispin as the announcer.
Yeah. What'd you think?
He had some interesting takes. I completely supported a couple of them.
Yeah, every time ESPN kind of throws in some new folks, you kind of got to get their temperature and see if you like them or not. But it might take a little while before we fully get an idea. But that is going to do it for the Minnesota game. We're going to take a break, come back, look ahead to Purdue's game against Maryland, but also take a look around the Big Ten. We'll be right back. And we are back. So we're going to take a look around the Big Ten, and then look ahead to Purdue's game against Maryland. So, as I said, Purdue, of course, won their game against Minnesota, now sit at 18-1 overall, 7-1 in the conference, still that pesky one-point loss to Rutgers hanging over our heads. But in addition to Purdue, there were a bunch of Big Ten games that we think went Purdue's way. You know, they worked out in Purdue's favor for now, but it's a long Big Ten season. Purdue still has 12 conference games left, as do, you know, most teams, 13 or 14, or I'm sorry, 12 or 13 games to go, depending on where they are. So right now, Purdue is alone atop the conference at 7-1, and they are two full games ahead in the loss column of a number of teams here. So Michigan State, 5-3, Rutgers, 5-3, Wisconsin, 4-3, Iowa, and Michigan, both also 4-3. So those five teams are next in line. And then following them, we've got Illinois, Northwestern, IU, Penn State, Maryland, Nebraska, Ohio State, and down there at the bottom, Minnesota, which they're one win over Ohio State because playing us apparently broke Ohio State, and they just have not been the same ever since.
No, they have not.
So, I mean, things are looking pretty good for Purdue right now. I mean, two games up, eight games in. I know we've got 12 games left, but is there anything about Purdue's schedule or the rest of the Big Ten schedule that gives you hope, gives you pause? What are you looking at with this Big Ten race?
It gives me hope that Purdue plays 12 more games and seven of them are in Mackey.
That's right, yeah.
That makes me quite hopeful. And then, let's see, who are our road opponents? We have Maryland, Indiana, Northwestern, Wisconsin, and I'm missing one. Michigan. We go to Ann Arbor.
Yeah, yeah.
So outside of whatever voodoo they have in Ann Arbor, not too much to worry about on the road.
I mean, so, at IU is always going to be hard. I don't care how good or bad IU is. And how many people they've got injured. It's always tough to win at Assembly Hall for Purdue just because of the rivalry and, you know, everything else. So I would never write off that game.
Yeah. But, yeah. None of the other ones are really too intimidating. I mean, now that Northwestern has been knocked down a peg, Wisconsin has shown that they can lose to pretty much anyone.
Yeah.
We'll see about Maryland. I mean, we'll get the first taste at Mackey here this weekend and then go from there. And then, like I said, just whatever cloud is over Ann Arbor just hasn't seemed to work. But who knows? This could change.
Yeah. So. I mean, again, we've said this for, you know, weeks and weeks. I am just so impressed with where this team is versus where I thought they were going to be. I didn't think they had a chance of being atop the Big Ten this year, and here they sit a full two games ahead of anyone else in the conference. And as you pointed out, the majority of their conference games now are still to be played at home, and you know Purdue has already played a number of difficult road games. So you know we've already gone to Michigan State. At Penn State turned out to be a difficult road game. And at Ohio State. So those are games that I think a lot of us maybe thought would be difficult going into the season. Purdue was victorious in all of them. And, you know, we don't have to go to Rutgers, which is good, which is such a weird thing to say. I don't think I'll ever get over Rutgers being good at basketball. it's still so weird. But as you said, you know, we'll see about Maryland this weekend as we play them on Sunday. So we know kind of what that return trip is going to look like in February. So it's going to be interesting. At Northwestern, as you said, I think is going to be one that should not be too much of a problem. But then Purdue at home has a lot of teams that they've already beaten. You know, Michigan State comes in. Penn State comes in. You know, so it's Ohio State. It looks like it's a pretty favorable schedule the rest of the way for Purdue. So, it would be great to win that 25th Big Ten Championship, one of your either Christmas wishes or New Year's resolutions. I can't remember which one it was, but was to win that 25th championship. So I'm really looking forward to seeing if we can do it.
Yeah, for sure. And you're almost a little nervous because Purdue, obviously they're 7-1 in conference. Four of those have come against the two bottom teams in the conference, both a home and away of Nebraska and Minnesota.
True.
So you almost wonder, okay, you know, you beat up on the lower ranked team or the lower tier teams, what are you going to do against the top tier teams? And to your point from earlier, I mean, they've beaten some good teams on the road, so you just got to keep winning. I mean, as cliche as that sounds, if you keep winning, you're going to end up in good places.
I mean, Purdue controls their own destiny fully at this point for a sole Big Ten title, Big Ten title, so that would be incredible. So next challenge coming up for Purdue is this Sunday, a 1 p.m. tip on FS1. Maryland comes to town. It is the Purdue, cancer game? What is it? Kickoff cancer?
Cancer?
What is it? Hammer down. Cancer. There we go. Oof. Oh, man. we're going to wear those neon yellow colored jerseys, which you can bid on. We'll tweet out a link as we have already a couple times. But Maryland comes in. They are 2-3 in their last five. They lost at Michigan, lost at Rutgers, beat Ohio State, lost to Iowa, and then just on the 19th, the same day we defeated Minnesota, they defeated Michigan 64-58. So they're kind of all over the place. It's kind of hard to get a bead on them. Currently sit at 12-6 overall and 3-4 in the conference. Is there anything you can tell me about Maryland at the
Maryland is pretty good at home. They are not good on the road.
Okay.
I believe every one of their Big Ten losses have come on the road. And so they've lost at Michigan, Rutgers, Iowa, and Wisconsin. So it's not like you've played easy opponents on the road, but just something changes when they go on the road. They've played a pretty good schedule this year. They've played Tennessee, UCLA, and they beat St. Peter's. So there's always that.
Move on.
they've also beat Miami, who has come back and is doing stuff. So they started off the season 8-0. They looked really good. They got ranked, and then they went through a brutal stretch. And they're starting to bounce back. We'll see if they can do what they did against Michigan. They just completely made Michigan feel out of sync on defense. But we'll see if they can do that to a Purdue offense in Mackey. And you don't really have the firepower to go up against Zach Edey when you have a couple players who are 6'7", 6'8", but you're not really having anyone really sniff 7'4". Closest you have is Caleb Swanton Roger. That's just too similar to Caleb Swanton.
That's what I was like. Is that that sounds fake?
Yeah, he is a 6'11" center from Canada as well.
Okay.
So
Battle of the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, couldn't see two big maples in this game.
To give folks an idea of where Purdue and Maryland sit in KenPom, Purdue's currently number 5 with a third-ranked adjusted offense and 18th-ranked adjusted defense, whereas Maryland currently 42nd overall. Their offense is 68th, and their defense is 37th. So pretty good defense, 37th overall, very respectable. Mm-hmm. Offense, not quite as good, but still pretty good. I mean, 68th in the country, but you compare that to Purdue, which is 3rd. And adjusted offense. So you really like the numbers there if you are a Purdue fan. As you said, this is a Maryland team who just looks completely different on the road versus at home. So you would hope as they come into Mackey, hammer down cancer game, should be a pretty good crowd, that it should make the difference and give Purdue the chance to walk away with a victory in this one. Let me ask you this. Do you know the name of Maryland's head coach? Don't look it up. No looking it up.
I think so.
Okay.
I can picture him, but I can't remember if it's their football coach or their basketball coach.
Well, that's a big difference.
One of them is Mike Locksley.
Nope. Not basketball, sir.
Then, nope, I do not know his name.
It is Kevin Willard.
Okay.
He's in his first season because, if you'll recall, Mark Turgeon, resigned. At the end or sometime after last year, just basically him and the fan base were not happy with each other. He decided to step away, and now we've got Kevin Willard as the head coach of the Maryland Terrapins. So it should be a good game. I think this is one Purdue, given that it is at home, is going to have a pretty good chance of walking away with a victory. But it's never easy in the Big Ten, and you hate to kind of brush aside an opponent when you just, you know, you haven't seen them play yet. But, you know, KenPom gives us an 83% chance to win. Predicted score 73-62. I think I would take those odds. Do you have anything else we need to know on Maryland? Otherwise, we'll get out of here since the game is tomorrow. Wanted to make this Sunday, and we wanted to make this a shorter one so you had time to listen before the game on Sunday.
Yeah, not too much. I mean, love the name Terrapin. I've always loved it.
Yeah. Don't call it a turtle. People in Maryland do not like it when you just call them the Turtles.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I do like they have a turtle outside their basketball arena. It's like the Xfinity Center, but they have a turtle, and you know, it's like everybody walks in and kind of rubs it as they walk to the gate. So that's interesting. It's a good place. I mean, I know this game's at Mackey. We can touch on this when we play again here in Maryland in February, but it's a nice place to watch a game. The student section is usually pretty good, whether they say some mean things to our players or not. They're a pretty good and rowdy student section. I do love the flag display they always do. So that's a fun one. But you know, it's nothing compared to Mackey Arena. So I'm really looking forward to the paint crew, getting loud and helping Purdue go and have another victory to kind of go, man, just an incredible 8-1 in conference play. That would be great. And we failed to mention Purdue 18-1, best start in school history.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, who would have thunk it?
Not
at the beginning of this year.
Yeah, not me. It's like, I feel like the Paul Rudd gif from Hot Ones. Who would have thought?
Mm-hmm.
Look at us. Not me. There you go. There you go, folks. For Ryan and myself, thanks for listening. Boiler up.
And we're down.